This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, an interview with former CBS Evening News anchor Dan Rather, who was in Urbana earlier this week. Also, we'll get a check of our forecast for the weekend with meteorologist Ed Kieser, first to look at the news. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich says he's open to lowering property taxes in Illinois if the state legislature passes his proposed tax on businesses. Mike Rhee reports.
Blagojevich has always been opposed to the so-called tax swap. That's a long-running idea to raise the state income tax to fund schools in order to lower property taxes. The governor's problem with the idea is the higher income tax, but his new proposed budget might solve that. It includes an additional $1.5 billion for schools next year with the help of a new tax on businesses. Blagojevich says if he gets his way, he'd be willing to support reducing property taxes.
If there's a vehicle or a suggestion or an idea, and we're working with Reverend Meeks now to develop a property tax relief component, we're more than happy to do that.
The reference to State Senator James Meeks is significant. Meeks has been a strong supporter of the tax swap for years. I'm Mike Rhee.
Governor Blagojevich's proposal for a gross receipts tax is already lining up opponents in Champaign County. Joined by some local business owners, Champaign County's Chamber of Commerce went on record opposing the plan yesterday. Businesses making less than $1 million are exempt from the tax, but owners say those who are paying the tax will ultimately pass it along to consumers. Mark Harriet operates Champaign's Columbia Street Roastery. He says the potential to be taxed puts those on the $1 million threshold in a tough position.
If you had a business and you're on that verge, you know, last year we did $935,000. And if we have a 5% increase, wow, we're going to go over $1 million. Do you want to do that? Because under the proposal, if you're under $1 million, you aren't liable for the tax. So now I'm sitting here in November 20th, and boy, we're getting real close to that. Do we really push our sales? I mean, think about it.
Harriet says the potential cost of working with a larger business would encourage him to shop out of Illinois for goods and services. Champaign County Chamber President and CEO Laura Weiss says the tax forces businesses into either raising prices or cutting expenses, which means layoffs. She says studies show the tax plan would cost Illinois families an additional $2,000 a year in the goods and services they buy. Electric companies would be subject to heavier state regulation if a measure approved yesterday in the Illinois House becomes law. The proposal comes at a time of furor over increased electric rates and after lengthy power outages. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Democrat Thomas Holbrook says utilities need to improve reliability. The lawmakers able to rattle off a list of recent power outages starting last summer and as late as this week that affected thousands in the Metro East area he represents.
It's hard for me to believe that in an 8-month period that there's been a million plus outages.
Under the proposal, customers could receive compensation if they're without power for 4 hours or more. Utilities would also have to submit to inspections and pay the state a fine if they don't meet the standards. However, a spokesman for Ameren calls the legislation unreasonable. He says the recent ice storms that caused outages were unpreventable. Utility companies are taking a lot of criticism from lawmakers now, not only over the widespread outages, but also over rate hikes in place since January. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
3.5 years after filing its request, Exelon has now been granted a permit for a site at the Clinton Nuclear Power Station that could one day hold a second reactor. The Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission approved the early site permit yesterday, the first time it's granted this new type of permit. An early site permit does not give Exelon permission to build a second reactor right now. Spokesperson Krista Lepkinski says it only certifies that the site would be appropriate for a reactor in the future.
With this permit, when we receive it, it actually allows us to what we call bank the site for a possible power plant should we decide to move forward with building a new one. There are certain other things that the process we would have to go through before any decision or any power plant were ever built on the site.
Lepkinski says they would only seek to build a second reactor at Clinton if appropriate technology is available and the nation has plans in place for the long-term storage of spent nuclear fuel. Both questions were among those raised by nuclear opponents during the application process for the reactor site. The University of Illinois says it's trying to recoup tens of thousands of dollars from an improperly run testing program. An annual report from the state auditor general says over 3 years, the U of I may have lost up to $90,000 in fees from the service. The testing center uses proctors to administer tests for the university and other clients. The audit says a proctor was paid separately from the fee the clients paid the university, and some of those payments weren't reported to the U of I. The university says it's since changed the way it accounts for those fees. U of I alumnus and adjunct professor Rick Kaplan is the new executive producer of the CBS Evening News. Yesterday, CBS announced that Kaplan, who started his career as a copy boy at CBS in Chicago, will replace Rome Hartman at the executive producer's post. Kaplan has been president of MSNBC, the vice president of ABC News, and headed CNN's U.S. operation before finally returning to CBS, where he started his career. He worked on the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite when it was the number one news show in the country. Kaplan says since then, the media market has changed a lot, and to bring CBS back on top, he and his staff will take on new challenges.
Audiences today have a different dynamic than audiences in the past because there was no cable, there was no internet. Today, you know, everybody is inundated with headlines, inundated with news. So when you take an audience today at 6:30, you've got to give them more than just a recap of stuff that they've been seeing and hearing all day long. You've got to go deeper into the news. You have to serve their needs better. It's all about serving the needs.
Kaplan says he'll start producing the news with Katie Couric in another week. He says changes will not happen overnight, but audiences will soon see an evolution. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. From the current CBS Evening News, we go to the historical CBS Evening News. At the age of 75, former anchor Dan Rather is still reporting and traveling around the world. He just came back from Afghanistan and made his way straight to the University of Illinois this week, speaking to hundreds of students at Follinger Auditorium. Rather's speech was called Off the Record, but before that, he spoke exclusively on the record with AM 580's Michael Kaliska.
When did you first decide to become a journalist and why?
Well, as far back as I can remember, I wanted to be a reporter. When we played games during childhood, some boys and girls wanted to be Indian chiefs or airplane pilots. I always said I wanted to be a reporter. I think that it was probably because both my parents were avid newspaper readers, particularly my father, who worked with his back in his hands all of his life. My father used to describe the newspaper as the poor man's university.
Yeah, looking back at more than 50 years of media experience is what you have, even more than that, yeah? What do you think is the state of the news in the country right now? Do you think that I get reasonably informed when I, like, turn to the network channels right now, for instance? Do you think the watchdog is still alive and kicking?
I think the watchdog is still alive, but not kicking very much. I have seen some fairly recent signs that encourage me to think that the watchdog is beginning to kick a little more. For example, the stories about how bad things were at Bethesda Naval Hospital, where our brave young men and women came back to be treated. But I try not to kid myself, and I don't want to kid anyone else. Entertainment values have almost overwhelmed journalistic values in kind of tsunami fashion, if you will, in a country such as ours, which is based on the Constitutional Republic, based on the principles of freedom and democracy, and depends for its very existence on an informed citizenry. And by the way, I do not accept myself from this criticism.
When you look at the conviction of Scooter Libby, what has this case done to journalism's ability to work with and trust actually confidential or insider sources? And how does a reporter or news operation maintain integrity while accepting leaks or other information sent out to serve someone else's self-interest, which has been kind of, you know, connected to the case when we look at disclosing the identity of Valerie Plame and stuff?
Well, unquestionably, it's going to dampen down the acceptance of what we call whistleblower information, somebody on the inside who's willing to talk and tell the journalists, who then will tell the public, what's really going on, as opposed to what somebody in power wants them to believe is going on. You need such people. What happens is the journalist uses the source and the source uses the journalist in a lot of cases, both high and low. Now, the higher you go up in the power structure, there is a nexus between particularly well-known journalists and people in power. And it's just my opinion, but I think that nexus needs to be examined very, very carefully.
You retired after 24 years being the evening anchor at CBS, and many people say that the report on George W. Bush's grounding was more or less this obstacle which kind of ended your career at CBS prematurely, and that news report files were presented that declared Bush unfit to fly because, among other things, he failed to submit to a physical examination, and the files were disputed as false. How do you feel about this incident now, after a couple of years, and especially about its effect on your career?
The way I feel about it is in my rearview mirror. I'm a forward-looking person. And I can truthfully say that quicker than I thought might be the case, that my experience at CBS for 44 years, I can't think of a better place to have spent the time. I don't argue, I'm not here to debate, that the story that we ran about President Bush and the questions about his military service hastened my departure from CBS. About career, I literally thank God and consider myself extremely lucky that at 75, I'll be 76 later this year, that I'm still able to do what I dreamed of doing when I was a child, which was cover news.
This leads me to my last question. How long do you think you're still going to be in front of the camera and, like, you know, do this job?
I do hope that as long as I have my health, that I will be reporting somewhere, somehow, for somebody. You know, my dream is to be a really excellent reporter. I haven't fully realized that dream, but I'm still working on it.
Former CBS Evening News anchor Dan Rather spoke with AM580's Michael Kaliska. We look forward to warmer weather over the weekend, but some rain as well. Today will be the warmest of the three-day weekend, if indeed you have a three-day weekend. Meteorologist Ed Kieser says in the north and in west-central Illinois, becoming cloudy today with showers in the afternoon. In east-central and southern Illinois and in northwest Indiana, sunny in the morning, then increasing clouds during the afternoon. And then in eastern and southern Illinois, mostly sunny today. The highs ranging from 45 in far northwest Illinois to around 70 degrees in the far south. Tonight in northwest Illinois, clouds and showers during the evening, then clearing after midnight. Elsewhere in Illinois and in northwest Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered showers. In eastern and southern Indiana, increasing clouds and showers arriving late. The lows from 27 in far northwest Illinois to 50 in the far south. For tomorrow, in northern and western Illinois, mostly sunny. In southeast Illinois and northern and western Indiana, clouds and scattered showers early, then becoming mostly sunny, and highs ranging from 44 in the far north to 62 in the far south. The Champaign-Urbana forecast for Sunday, partly to mostly sunny and a high of 55. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.